insist on meeting her. I walk into the lab, my steps heavy, but it's not because of what I've lost or what I could become at the end of the season. Not really. It's that uneasiness that's been lurking behind my ribcage ever since she announced a sudden project she needed to finish. After I claimed her for the world to see following tonight's game, I felt her eagerness to take what we have a step further. Go deeper. Bury the past. Forget the past. Crush the past to fucking pieces so she never sees its blood-soaked fragments again. But right now, something's off. The bright white lights flicker as I stride into the work area. The sharp smell of antiseptic and chemicals lingers in the cold, sterile air. Fluorescent lights buzz faintly above, casting a harsh glow on everything. I've often arrived early to pick up Dahlia from here and remain in the shadows for some time, just enjoying the view of seeing her in her element. She said she only chose to study medicine for her sister, but Dahlia's a fucking genius at what she does. A hard worker and somewhat of a nerd. She gets excited about the most niche, unknown, and completely unheard of scientific research, and can talk about how important they are for hours. Right now, however, there's no trace of her moving around while humming some obscure band song. I'm about to call her for the 1,000th time, but my fingers pause on the phone. Dahlia's curled in on herself in the corner, small and fragile in contrast to the harsh, large surfaces surrounding her. Her arms are wrapped tightly around her knees, her face buried, hiding from the world. A slight tremor runs through her, barely noticeable. It cuts through the stillness of the room, the sound of her shaky breaths louder than the quiet hum of the machines. Her hair spills forward, a tangled mess hiding her face. But I recognize this state. It's how she protects herself when distressed or experiencing a nightmare. I carefully move toward her, the sharp echo of my footsteps bouncing off the sterile walls. I hate how the tension in her body tightens at the sound. But she doesn't look up, as if she's waiting for the darkness to swallow her whole. Dahlia. No response. I crouch before her and grab her wrist, then slowly release it. She doesn't resist, as if the fight in her is gone. My fingers tense when I lift her face. Her eyes are filled with moisture, and all the mischief is gone. They're a muted brown, colorless, no, lifeless. Tears streak down her red cheeks, clinging to her chin, then slipping to her jersey beneath the lab coat, wetting the blue to a darker color. While her tears during sex turn me on, these make me murderous. I don't like it when she cries, mainly because she rarely does. What happened? I stroke her cheek, wiping away the moisture. Who did this? Her lips tremble and fresh tears gush out, soaking my fingers. I grab her face with both of my hands. Tell me who the fuck did this, so I can end them.
Kane.
Her voice is low, weak, barely audible. This is not like her. Who the fuck managed to mess with her? I wipe her tears again. I'm here. Talk to me.
I...
Her voice breaks with a sniffle. What is it? She smiles through the tears and shakes her head. Dahlia always said I have high walls, but hers are equally high. She only recently started to act without putting her guard up around me. But right now, I sense those walls building, growing thicker, and pushing me out. She stands up and forces me to lower my hands. Dahlia wipes her face with her sleeves.
It's stupid, really. I just thought of Vi.
I get up as well and watch her closely, but her face stays impassive, keeping her thoughts locked away. She walks out to where she keeps her stuff, her shoulders hunched and her back crowded with tension. I follow, my temper barely tucked away. Out of the blue?
It's not really out of the blue.
She opens her locker and starts throwing things into a tote bag.
I've known it for a long time, but I refuse to face it. It's been over 3 months since the attack. Every day she spends in a coma lowers her chances of ever waking up again. Her mental activity is diminishing, and the doctor basically told me to give up hope and stop getting excited whenever her fingers twitch. It's involuntary. It's reflexive. It means nothing. I should lower my expectations. Just now, I had the very scary but realistic thought that I might never have a conversation with my sister again.
I lean against the wall, my index finger twitching as tears gather in her eyes and she wipes them with the back of her hand. This is the only time in my life I regret not having the ability to console others. I doubt my and Jude's method of kicking and hitting Preston while offering him food and meds is considered consolation for normal people.
Sorry for being all gloomy on your victory night.
She smiles as she faces me.
I'll make it up to you by being a cheerleader online.
That's not important. Do you want to go see your sister? She shakes her head. How about food? I can cook you something, maybe your favorite pasta. Another shake. Fuck. Food is the only soft thing I know how to do correctly. Then what do you want, Dahlia? Unless you tell me, I don't know. She grabs my sides beneath my jacket, her nails sinking into my t-shirt. When she looks up at me, her features soften and a shine flashes through.
I want to have fish.
Fish?
Uh-huh.
I don't think we'll find any at this hour.
Not here. In Maine.
Maine?
Yup.
Maine is more than a 6-hour drive. She sulks.
Is that a no?
It's a why Maine all of a sudden.
I want to see my hometown again. Can you come with me?
There's only one answer to that question, especially when she's looking at me with a softness I've never seen before. Maybe there's also a smidge of fear, but I understand that. She probably thought she'd never step foot in Maine again. I've seen the footage of her parents' deaths. While she was watching it, I heard her murmur that she never wanted it to happen. I know, deep down, that she blames herself for their deaths, which is probably why she never went back to Maine. But right now, she wants to heal, and I'll be part of that trip. My and Dahlia's understanding of road trips is entirely different. For me, it's simply driving and reaching the destination. For Dahlia, however, it's a bizarre experience, to say the least. She stuffed the car full of snacks, has blasted obnoxiously loud music, and has been singing her heart out. Out of tune. Oh, and apparently we both need to power off our phones so that it's distraction-free. She proceeded to do that, and locked the phones in the glove compartment so we don't have to worry about anything we left behind.
That was amazing! Phew!
She grins as the song comes to an end.
Maybe the radio will repeat it.
I hope not. It was painful to hear the first time around.
Rude!
She hits my shoulder.
What's your favorite song? Let's see how you sound, Mr. Captain.
I don't have one. I focus on the road, the early morning light painting the sky a deep magenta.
No way.
She lowers the volume as the DJ speaks in the background.
I know you said you don't listen to music much, but you must listen to something. Instrumental, maybe? Classical or jazz or, like, the cool theme music?
Not really. It's distracting. She sits sideways facing me as she stuffs her mouth full of gummies.
You're like an alien. Hold on. How about a favorite movie?
Maybe The Game?
I don't even know what that is. Mine is Scream.
What a cliche.
At least you know what movie that is, unlike your pretentious choice.
Pretentious?
Yep.
She shoves a few gummies in my mouth.
You don't even eat candy. What a pretentious posh boy.
I chew on the disgusting things, their extensive sweetness flooding my taste buds. I'm an athlete. We should watch our diet, Miss Medicine Major.
It's okay once in a while. I bet you haven't had anything sweet since you were a kid.
I'm not a fan of the taste.
Then what are you a fan of?
Fucking, chasing, choking, pounding, biting. Rough sex in general. A red blush covers Dahlia's face, and she chokes on the piece of candy in her mouth. I suppress a smile. You all right there?
You did that on purpose, asshole.
I was only answering your question ever so innocently.
There's nothing innocent about you.
She nudges me with her foot, then rests it on my lap.
Have you always loved rough sex?
I suppose.
So, how many victims did you have before me?
Victims?
Women you chased.
I didn't chase any woman before you.
You didn't?
Finding someone compatible with such a rough kink is harder than you think. Besides, I didn't feel the real urge until you bulldozed through my life.
Wow. So it's my fault?
Yeah. I wrap my hand around her leg in my lap. You'll take responsibility for the monster you provoked.
Some would argue the monster has always been there. By some, I mean me.
Maybe. But you're the one who broke the spell.
I mean, you broke the spell for me too, so I guess we're even.
Me?
Yeah.
She strokes my cheek.
I didn't know I loved that type of sex until you. It kind of made me suspect my morals and consider therapy, but I accept myself now.
I tighten my grip on her leg. As you should.
Oh my God, I love this song.
She hikes up the volume and starts singing again, shamelessly loud, and tries to feed me the sugary things from the bag she's holding. Her cheerful mood, however, slowly withers when we arrive in Maine. It turns into terrible silence when I stop in front of her previous address, in a small town by the coast. The house sits quietly by the water, its silhouette framed against the early morning light. It's small, nothing like the sprawling estates I'm used to, but it's well kept. The white fence that borders the front yard is freshly painted, straight and sturdy, though a bit weathered by the salt air and covered with a few layers of snow. The ocean hums in the background, the faint sound of waves lapping at the shore just behind it. The air is cool, carrying the scent of salt water and morning dew. A couple steps out of the house, their soft laughter rising in the quiet as their kid bounces ahead of them, kicking the snow with his feet. The boy's giggles cut through the air as the parents half laugh and half scold him. The scene feels out of place, like something from a different world. A world where everything is simple. Dahlia's world. That must have been her life before everything ended. I watch her as she watches them, her eyes watery, her hands shaking around a bag of chips. This time I don't hesitate as I take her hand in mine. She shudders, and I think I feel her stiffen before she goes still. Does it make you sad? I ask.
On the contrary, I'm relieved that the house is well loved and kept. Mom and Dad would be so happy if they saw this.
She grins.
Hey, Kane?
Hmm?
Let's go by the ocean.
When it's this freezing.
It's the best. I know people say coastal towns are depressing in the winter, but it's like a fairy tale, believe me.
I have my doubts. She just laughs and drags me out of the car. We trek by a rocky path that she said she remembers, but it turns out her memories failed her. It's ridiculously icy weather to get lost in. But Dahlia just laughs and says it's perfect for exploration. We end up hiking to the peak of a large snow-covered rock that overlooks the deep blue ocean. The colors here are cold, white, navy blue, and unforgiving gray. Dahlia stares at the violent waves below, throws her hands wide apart, and screams at the top of her lungs.
Mom! Dad! I'm home!
The echo of her voice is swallowed by the wind as her long brown hair flies behind her. She looks like a goddess.
I'm sorry I didn't come back before. I'm doing amazing things. You'd be so proud of me. I have a sister now. Her name is Violet, and she's the sweetest person ever. You would have loved her so much.
Her voice breaks, but she turns around and takes my hand, then pulls me to her side.
I brought someone. You would have loved him too. Probably.
Probably.
Shh. It's a 50-50 chance.
She whispers, then yells at the ocean again.
He's filthy rich, buys me ridiculously expensive clothes, and even cooks for me. He's not that bad sometimes.
Sometimes?
Just stay silent. This isn't about you.
She glares and then smiles at the ocean again.
You don't have to worry about me anymore. Your little girl is a grown-up now. Thank you for everything.
Her hand shakes in mine, and I squeeze it tight.
You think they heard me?
I wrap my arms around her waist. Hopefully not the part where you said I'm not bad sometimes.
You're so petty.
Only sometimes. She laughs, the sound so light and endearing.
Thank you.
What for?
Accompanying me on this bizarre trip.
I pull her against my chest, lift her chin with my index finger, and kiss her frozen lips. Warmth seeps between us, and she hugs me while kissing me back. Her body becomes one with mine, her nails digging into my jacket, and it feels like she desperately doesn't want to let go. My lips leave hers, and she smiles.
Want a poor people's town tour? I'll give you a discount.
By all means. Dahlia obviously forgot most of the town, and many places have changed. But she still gets excited whenever she sees a familiar shop or house. We do have the fish she came all the way for. We also buy a lot of fishermen's catch, and Dahlia donates them to the local restaurants. I suppose that's her way of honoring people who have her dad's profession. She doesn't stay still for the whole day, going from one place to another like a busy bee. It's almost as if she doesn't want to stop and breathe. By sunset, we're walking back to the car, her hand in mine, when she hesitantly stops by a small bridge. What? Is there somewhere else you want to visit? Her lips pull in a small smile.
I think I saw my dad's friend. I'll go and say hi.
Fine. Let's go.
You just go bring the car. It won't take long. I'll be here.
All right. I'm about to leave, but she doesn't release my hand, her fingers digging into the back of it.
Kane?
Yeah?
You know how I always say I hate you?
What about it?
I don't. Actually, I really like you.
She grins.
Like, a lot.
A drop of heat expands behind my ribcage, melting away all the years my father spent attempting to turn me into ice. A few words from Dahlia, and I'm touched by warmth. A few words, and it's like I'm transformed into a new person. I really like you too, when I don't want to strangle you.
What a romantic.
She smiles, but it's sad.
I'll be waiting. Go ahead.
She hesitantly releases me, and it takes me about 5 minutes to reach the car. After I get in, I open the glove compartment. I know I promised Dahlia no phones, but it's been a whole day without checking in on Preston's deteriorating state. I pause when I don't see Dahlia's phone. When did she take it? With a frown, I power on my phone and pause at the bombardment of missed calls by Jude. Fuck. What happened to Preston now? I'm about to call Jude, but then I see the text. Jude. Where the fuck are you, man? This is an emergency. Jude. Violet has been kidnapped from the hospital under the guise of a medical transfer. Jude. My brother and your father are behind this. I don't know what the fuck they want, but my brother's driver mentioned a trip to the lab. I'm guessing they're using Violet against Dahlia. I'll see what I can do from my end. Jude. Update. I still can't locate her. My fist tightens against the steering wheel, and I hit the start button. My body flattens against the leather as I speed to where I left Dahlia on the bridge. The trip. The strange behavior. The way she was holding on to me the whole day. Now I see why it all felt so weird. The moment I reach the bridge and find it empty, the realization hits me across the face. This entire day, Dahlia has been saying goodbye.
31. Dahlia. I should have kissed him one final time. Hell, I should have fucked him. I should have taken something of him with me. Maybe if I had, it wouldn't hurt this bad. Maybe it wouldn't feel as if I'd ripped my heart out and left it in the palm of Kane's hand. But I couldn't possibly think of anything during this entire trip. I wanted more time with him, even if it was a couple of hours, minutes, seconds. That's why I came up with this stupid idea of visiting my old hometown. I only wished to delay the inevitable, but I ended up with the best down memory lane trip of my life. Having Kane beside me, his hand wrapped possessively around my waist, has made it more enjoyable, and less of a tearjerker. Until now, that is. I sit in an old empty cathedral hidden in the corner, staring numbly at the large crucifix on the altar, and hoping my heart doesn't break to pieces and leave me hollow. Wait, it's too late for that. My fingers shake and my vision blurs. Hey, I talk to the crucifix, tears flowing down my face. Can you make it stop? No? Why not? You took my parents away and Vi too. Now Kane? Is my life a joke to you? Am I not allowed any form of happiness? No matter what I would have done differently, it would have ended this way, wouldn't it? Why? Just tell me why.
Because you yearn for something you shouldn't have looked at in the first place.
Authoritative footsteps echo in the air as Grant walks to the altar and then stands in front of it, his back to the relics. He looks like a devil fresh out of hell. The tailored suit and groomed appearance don't hide the pure evil that lurks in that man's soul.
You got greedy, Dahlia, and people like you aren't allowed to be greedy. If you looked up long enough, that neck would be broken.
I wipe my tears with the back of my hand. Were you following us?
Your day is almost up and you didn't do what I asked.
I'm not going to hurt Kane with my words. He's already experienced enough pain from you. If you tell him about my motives, he'll stop looking for me and even despise me. So you get what you want either way. I lift my chin despite the breaking sound that reverberates in my chest. Let me and my sister go, and we'll move to a different state and stay as far away as possible. He tisks, the sound loud in the silence.
That wasn't the deal. I specifically asked you to be the one who hurts him. If it's me, that will only make him hate me and end up idolizing you more. He can be stubborn with his feelings. It took me a long time to stop him from seeking his mother like a fucking weakling. But if I have to break him again so he'll erase you and go back to being normal, so be it.
Normal? That's not normal. That's a robot. The urge to strangle this man beats beneath my skin like a need, a fucking urge. Maybe I can kill him and rid Kane of his evil. Maybe Cain and his mother can finally reconcile. I suspected it before, but now I'm sure Grant is the reason Cain keeps his distance from Helena. Yes, Cain probably still holds her accountable for what's happened to him, but he also recognizes just how abusive his father is. He knows that the more he seeks his mom out or spends time with her, the more Grant will punish him and probably take out his wrath on his wife. Surely, if I kill Grant, the world will be a better place. I reach a hand into my tote bag and feel for the scalpel I usually keep for self-defense.
What I do with my family is none of your concern.
Grant's gratingly condescending voice echoes in the air. My fingers latch onto the scalpel case and I open it as I speak. Have you ever felt sorry for the shit you've put him through since he was a kid? Have you ever wondered that maybe you stole his childhood and molded him into a gloomier version of what he could have been?
Sorry.
He says the word as if it's an insult.
Why would I feel sorry when I saved him? I made him into the perfect man who can rightfully inherit my empire. He had to be a wolf, or he would have been eaten by one.
I scoff as I clutch the scalpel's handle in my shaky hand. So you tortured him, left permanent scars on his body, and broke his soul for his sake?
Don't be ridiculous. It's for the Empire's sake. He only exists to fulfill a role. We all do. Yours is to stay in your lane.
So it's narcissism. You only brought him into the world so you could use him. The pain stagnating inside me whirls and transcends the situation I got trapped in.
He's a Davenport. That's his duty.
He's not only a Davenport. He's just Cain. I murmur in a low voice he probably can't hear as I stand up, shoving my hand with the scalpel in my pocket. I don't feel my legs, as if I'm floating on air. My senses sharpen and a red mist covers my eyes. This man needs to die. For Vi. For Cain. For Helena. For me. My legs carry me with ease. It's funny how I got entangled in this entire mess to seek revenge, but right now, I only want to stab him to death.
What were you murmuring to yourself?
He asks when I stop in front of him. From this angle, the crucified Jesus looks looming, tall, the blood surrounding the holes in his wrists matching my red haze. I said Cain is just Cain. He's not your plaything! I shout as I pull out the scalpel and aim it at his throat. Grant steps back at the last second, and the scalpel only grazes his jaw. He grabs my hand and twists it so suddenly, a scream of pain bubbles out of me. My grip loosens on the scalpel, and it hits the ground with a clink as Grant kicks me in the stomach. I fall to the harsh floor, coughing. A metallic taste fills my mouth, and blood spills out of my lungs. But I still crawl to the scalpel. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. Just when I'm about to grab it, a shoe steps on my outstretched hand and I groan, then scream when he applies pressure. Grant stands above me and motions somewhere behind me. He wipes the gushing blood from his jaw as he shakes his head.
Looks like your time is up, Dahlia.
My scream comes to an abrupt halt as something sharp pricks the back of my neck. The scalpel turns blurry and a tear slides down my cheek. As the darkness swallows me, my thoughts are of deep failure. I'm sorry, Vi. I'm sorry, Cain. My senses come back in pieces, disjointed, hazy, but sharp enough that I jolt awake. No matter how much I widen and blink my eyes, I only see darkness. The air is thick, suffocating, reeking of mildew and something else. Damp, rotting wood, maybe. A drip echoes in the distance, slow and methodical. It plants a seed of fear at the bottom of my stomach. I try to move, but pain slices through my shoulders. The ache burns so much that everything snaps into focus. My wrists are bound above me, the rough chains digging into my skin, pulling tight every time I shift. My bare feet barely touch the ground. just enough to feel the slick, wet floor beneath them, but not enough to steady myself. Where am I? Panic floods my chest, drowning out every coherent thought. The thick darkness presses in on all sides, as if the room itself is swallowing me whole. I blink rapidly, trying to adjust my sight, trying to see something, anything, but there's nothing. Just the cold air clinging to my skin and the sound of my ragged breathing filling the space. My mind scrambles, racing through fractured images. The last thing I remember is being injected with something and losing consciousness. After that, nothing. My thoughts stutter and freeze like static cutting through my brain. My wrists burn from the strain, my muscles screaming, but it's the fear that twists my jumbled insides. What if Grant is using me to get back at Kane? What if I'm his downfall? I need to get out of here, wherever here is. My fingers curl instinctively, grasping the chain and pulling myself up, but I fall back down. The sound of my breath is louder now, echoing in the small space, filling the silence with my rising panic. The drip in the distance fades, replaced by a low grinding, metallic sound. My heart kicks into overdrive, panic swelling as I strain to figure out the source of the noise. Something shifts above me, and before I can brace myself, a torrent of freezing water crashes down, drenching me. It's cold, ice cold, shockingly cold. I stop breathing as the water slices through my skin like 1,000 tiny needles. It doesn't stop. It keeps pouring, soaking through my clothes, clinging to my body like a second skin. I gasp, choking on the air. The ache in my shoulders sharpens, and the weight of the water jerks me down harder. My feet slip on the wet floor, barely grazing it as I try to find some footing. Oh God, am I going to freeze to death? The water stops, but I remain shaking in place. It hits me then. This is one of Grant's torture methods, one he probably used on Kane countless times. A fresh wave of terror rolls over me. The thought that a kid could have gone through this, that Grant subjected his son to this type of punishment, churns my stomach. The cold, the chains, the pain. How could Kane have hidden all this behind that calm, emotionless mask? Water drips on the floor, each icy drop like a reminder, a piece of the puzzle that Kane never let me see. How did he survive this all these years when I feel like I'll die? My body shakes, trembling against the freezing weight of the water. This must be why he had bruises that one time and his complexion was pale. He still lived through it, though. The thought hits me like a blow, but it doesn't bring comfort. It just makes the darkness around me feel more suffocating, hopeless. I don't know how long I've been here, but it's long enough that my shoulders are going numb while still screaming in pain. A door creaks open, and I close my eyes as strong light flickers above my head and bathes the room in bright white. Grant walks in with two men dressed in black. One of them is bald with tattoos all over his head, and the other has a scar right beneath his eye. I'm shaking uncontrollably as Grant walks to a table covered with black boxes off to the side. He opens one and then grabs a whip.
No.
He smiles.
I'm sure Kane won't look your way again once we disfigure your face and body.
My chin trembles as I say, he'll never forgive you.
Good thing I don't care.
He smiles, his lips curling slightly.
Shall we begin? 32. Kane. Any news about Violet? I swerve the car in and out of traffic, driving as fast as I can without crashing the fucking thing. I've been going like this for the past several hours, ever since I received the call from Samuel that made my worst nightmare come true. She's in the dungeon. In the dungeon. Dahlia. In Grant's fucking dungeon. A place no one should ever be in, especially not Dahlia. Not after what I gave up to keep her out of Grant's claws. That's when the dooming realization hits me. Uncle Caden was right. Revealing my cards might have given Dahlia immunity for some time, but Grant will never let her survive. Not after she's proven to be my Achilles heel. He'll eliminate her just to maintain a hold on me. He'll hurt her just to teach me a lesson. I considered asking Jude and Preston to save her for me, to get as many of their guards as they could and just march in. But they and their guards don't compare to the small army my father has on the estate. Besides, Grant would call their fathers, and that would be the end of that. The heavy breathing from the other end of the phone fills my car, and the shuffle of footsteps follows before Jude's rough voice filters through. I couldn't locate Violet in any of our hospitals or safe houses. I'm done searching blindly, so I'm walking to my brother's office and won't leave until he gives me the information I need. My hand tightens around the steering wheel. Julian can't be threatened, and you know that. Not him, no, but his wife. That's a different fucking story. He doesn't give a fuck about his wife. If he didn't, he wouldn't have made her live in a goddamn gilded cage. He got her expelled from the society, Jude. That's his idea of protection. I know because I'm having the same thoughts. Guess I'll have to test the theory. Don't. It's risky. I have to take my chances. A mumble of voices follows, Jude ignoring his brother's assistant and then shouting, "Everyone out!" The shuffle of feet, murmurs, and then Julian's clear voice. "You need to quit your punch first and ask questions later habits. They're a disgrace to the Callahan name. I'm going to show you the actual disgrace, big bro." "Jude, don't," I say in a tight voice. "I didn't mean it's risky, as in it might not work. It's risky because it could work. Threatening Julian will only make him more antagonistic." "I don't give a fuck," he spits out. "Let me talk to him. I can handle this." "No, you can't. Pass Julian the phone. Do us both a favor and let me do the talking." There's a low curse before his voice sounds far away. "It's Kane. He wants to talk to you." I tap my finger on the steering wheel as Julian's clear voice echoes in my car. "What can I do for you, Davenport?" "The real question is, what else can you do to grow the Callahan Empire?" "Are we having a business talk?" "Nothing that different from what you had with Grant." "You're far behind, kid. Besides, I'm disappointed in you." "Disappointed? You brought a liability into our midst. A little girl with several tricks up her sleeve and shady motivations that could sabotage our ways. You either allowed her to perform DNA tests on you and your teammates, or you weren't aware, which is even worse." My fingers tighten until I'm sure I'll break the steering wheel. I knew Julian was in the know about everything that goes on in the Callahan facilities, but I didn't think he'd care about a nameless campus lab. "Grant is correct," Julian continues. "I had extremely high hopes for you, especially after watching your behind-the-scenes methodical modus operandi. However, you allowed a mere fucking girl to topple it all to the ground." "Not all." "Oh? You think I'd hand Grant everything in my arsenal? That I'd remain defenseless? Me, of all people?" "Good for you. However, I still have no interest in internal conflict. I have my own to take care of." "Then stay out completely, and I promise whatever the outcome, you won't be a loser." I pause. "You know Grant's temper. You're well aware of his failing business decisions lately, due to which he had to cut funding for your new experimental drug." "His failing business decisions don't compare to your massive loss of judgment." "It's not a loss of judgment. It's part of a plan." "What plan?" "Let Violet go and we might discuss this further." "Good one. Unfortunately, however, Violet is a family issue now, as it affects my brother." "Let's go outside," Jude says from the other end. "We'll fight it out." "I have no intention of throwing fists. What an uncultured motherfucker. It's an embarrassment to call you my brother." Julian sighs, then tells me, "If I see a manifestation of your plan, I might consider backing off, but that's all I can offer. Now, if you'll excuse me, Judah's going to punch me and I need to break his arm. Beep, beep, beep. Fuck! I hit the steering wheel, but take a deep breath. It's useless to try to convince Julian with words anyway. If he wants action, then so be it. An hour of reckless driving later, I arrive at my parents' house and nearly hit the entrance. The late night air is suffocating. To think, I had the best time of my life not 24 hours ago, and now I'm back to this absolute shithole is fucking revolting. As soon as I get out, I spot a slim silhouette walking back and forth by the massive front door. Upon seeing me, Helena charges toward me. Her nightrobe clings to her frail body and her eyes are sunken, dark circles surrounding them like bottomless pits.
Kane! Honey, don't go in!
I stop and stare down at her boning hand clutching my arm. Let go, mother. She adds another hand, digging her nude nails into my black jacket, shaking her head.
I heard Samuel call you. You shouldn't have come back. You shouldn't be here.
I shouldn't be here. Then where should I be hiding? Burying my head in the sand. Being you.
You don't understand. If you go in there, he'll torture you.
Something I'm extremely familiar with, but she's not, mother. She flinches, her cheeks losing all color. This is the first time I've raised my voice at her. I might have kept my distance from my mother, but I have treated her cordially, with respect, as expected of me. Now, though, I turn around and grab her by the shoulders and shake her hard. She defended you, Helena. Even after she knew you stood by and watched while the man you chose to have a kid with tortured that kid, she said you must have been helpless. You must have tried to stop it but couldn't. She said you're mentally fragile and couldn't handle this type of life, so you withdrew as a defense mechanism. She gave you the benefit of the doubt. She begged me to be kinder to you, to not forget and erase you. She asked if you and I could turn over a new leaf. I started seeing you from her perspective, through her eyes, because she lost her mother at a young age. She has these rosy concepts about mothers and affection, so I shouldn't have listened to her warped logic. But I still came by, didn't I? I still conformed to the benefit of the doubt she gave you. And now you're asking me to let her be tortured and watch. I'm not you, mother. Do you understand? Tears stream down her face as she trembles uncontrollably.
I just want you to be safe. I hate for anything to happen to Dahlia either. She's been the only color in my life lately, and I begged Grant to let her go, but you know he never listens to me. I don't want her to be hurt, but I would hate losing you more.
You already lost me 15 years ago, mother. I let her go and push past her as I stride through the mansion, down the dim halls with the ugly dark green wallpaper. Throughout the years I've been walking these halls, I've only felt numbness, and lately the consolation that this will soon come to an end. But right now my muscles are tense, my steps wide. I've never rebelled against my father, and it wasn't because I couldn't. After I hit puberty, I became as big as he is and even more muscular. If I'd wanted to hit him, I would've. But violence is not my style, and I refuse to be molded into a copy of him. So I connived behind closed doors. I gathered all the intel about his trusted executives, and used it to turn those pigs against him. I actively sabotaged each of his new ventures, starting talks within the company and even Vencor. I didn't want to physically harm Grant. That wouldn't have accomplished anything. Seeing his empire crumble before his eyes, however, witnessing the son he labeled a weakling take over, that would break him. Two of my father's men stand guard in front of the dungeon's metal door. Buff, muscular, their gaze is mean. They're part of the crew my father uses to do his dirty work. Some thugs who specialize in intimidation and breaking bones. The bald one extends an arm. No one is allowed in. Step away. I won't repeat myself. Boss said no one... I pull out my gun with the silencer and shoot him between the eyes. His friend reaches for his weapon, but I shoot him in the face before he can act. Blood splatters on my face, reddening my gaze. They both fall to the ground with a thud, and I step over them as I sheath my gun. The moment I open the door, Everything comes to a halt. The place reeks of dampness and rot, the familiar stench of cold stone and blood curling into my nostrils. But that isn't what makes the world stop. It's Dahlia. The white light casts a harsh shadow on her face as she hangs from the ceiling, her body limp, dripping wet clothes clinging to her discolored skin. Water pools beneath her feet, reflecting the light like shattered glass. Her features are lifeless, devoid of the cheerful and defiant energy she wears like a badge of honor. Her soaking hair is plastered to her skin. Blood gushes from where the chains dig into her flesh, deep red rivers trickling down her arms, mixing with the water that drips from her clothes. Her eyes are clamped shut, and she's shaking. Every breath she takes is a thin cloud of mist that barely escapes her lips before dissolving. The sour tang of sweat and blood sharpens and fills my senses as I spot Grant standing in front of her, tall, erect, with that sadistic gleam in his eyes, as he approaches Dahlia with a whip in hand. She flinches as he gets closer, a tremor quaking her entire body. Something inside me snaps. All the torture I've lived through pales compared to this. No matter how brutal they were, how painful it got, I was born into this. It's what was expected of me. Dahlia is fucking different. Grant's third lackey approaches me.
You're not supposed to be here.
I shoot him in the head and bypass him. My father finally turns in my direction. He has a bandage on his chin that, according to Samuel, is due to a cut he had when he came back. And he was cursing Dahlia for it. That made me so fucking proud. He might have kidnapped her, but my wildflower didn't leave without a fight. My father looks at his dead man and narrows his eyes at me.
What the fuck do you think you're doing, Kane?
I let the gun rest at my side.
You gave me your word. You said you wouldn't touch her.
That was before I learned how much you actually gave up for this nameless bitch. She's a liability that needs to be taken care of. Trembling uncontrollably, Dahlia flutters her eyes open. Their color flickers between brown and yellow as she shakes her head and mouths.
Go, Kane. Please.
That fucking girl thinks she can protect me, even though she's hanging from the fucking ceiling. What the actual fuck? I burst out laughing, holding the gun flat against my temple. It hits me then. Seems that aside from the chains my father wrapped around my wrists, I subconsciously shackled myself too. I believed his hypocritical speech about the Davenport bond. Somehow, even though I grew taller and much stronger than him, I never considered hurting him physically like he hurt me, because at some point I believed his words, that I was a defect he was fixing, and didn't consider his punishment wrong. When I was younger, I even blamed myself for being born a weakling and not meeting his expectations. Jude and Preston didn't need to be locked up in their father's basements to be cold-blooded. Why wasn't I the same? Why wasn't I wrong? The answer is, I'm not the one built wrong, he is. He's the one who twisted me the fuck up just to fit the mold that suits his vision. And I still thought I couldn't hurt him, because he spawned me. But now the fog has lifted. The metaphorical rusty chains that I've clasped around my own wrist since I was a kid break, and I laugh harder.
Have you lost your goddamn mind?
Grant asks.
On the contrary, I've never seen things so clearly.
I let out a sigh.
You know, I figured out that becoming like you is the ultimate goal. I had to be so ruthless, so detached and cold, nothing would faze me. Not personal relationships, not people I spent my whole life with, not even my own mother. Connections are only formed for mutual gain. Being emotionless was the true answer to any problem. Treating everyone like pawns would get me to the top faster and more efficiently.
That is correct.
Yes, but you see, Father, you're in my way.
He faces me, his shoulders bunching.
Me.
Yes, I want the Davenport throne so I can do things the way I see fit and fix your fuck-ups. You're a hindrance, preventing my progress.
The Davenport throne. Don't make me laugh. You gave it up for this nobody. Do you believe I'll ever let you ascend it in your state? Let me. I raised my hand, the gun steady, my finger relaxed. I don't need you to let me. You'll kill me, he snarls. For her. For me. Messing with her was only the last straw. He curses and swings his hand in Dahlia's direction to hit or kill her, I don't know. It doesn't reach her anyway, because I pull the trigger. The bullet hits the back of his head. I don't see his face as he falls, his body hitting the ground, motionless. Finally, silent. I wait for the feelings of guilt, for the conflict, for the slightest hint of remorse. Nothing. Huh. I guess he really brought me up well.
Kane.
A small voice whispers in the midst of the blood-soaked silence. So small and calming. So small and sad. I look up and freeze. Dahlia looks at me with tears streaming down her cheeks, dripping to her collarbone. Right. She saw me do that unsightly thing. She must think I'm a true monster now. Her chin trembles and she whispers,
I'm so sorry.
And then her head falls forward and she passes out.
33. Dahlia. A deep voice swirls around my head. A very familiar, rough voice that only softens for me. My eyes flutter open, adjusting to the dim light illuminating the room. My body's heavy, and everything aches against the soft sheets beneath me. They're cool against my skin, smelling faintly of cedarwood and fresh detergent. Where is this place? Recent memories slash through my psyche. The torture, Kane's father, Kane's words. Kane. I startle into a sitting position. Am I in his old room? It's surprisingly simple, aside from the luxurious cream wallpaper. The furniture is sleek, minimalist, everything sharp edges and clean lines. No clutter, no personal touches, except for the faded scent of him lingering in the air, a mix of something dark and woodsy. That's when I see him. Kane's standing by the window, staring at the night, staking its claim on the Japanese garden, while talking on the phone in a low, hushed tone. A breath spits out of my lungs, and I breathe. For the first time since I was cornered by his father, I inhale and exhale a large gulp of air, fill my lungs with it, completely flounder in it. He's okay. He looks like himself, vicious chaos contained in a thread of calm.
You prepared the boat?
He asks, then listens, his index finger twitching against his thigh.
No crew members, correct?
More listening, more staring out at the horizon.
I'll be there shortly.
I pull the soft black sheet to my chin. The trembling returns, the realization, the doomsday feeling. Kane killed his father. He shot him in the head in a cutthroat, emotionless way. He didn't hesitate. Didn't think twice as he killed his own father, for me. No, because of me. What have I done? He tilts his head in my direction, his eyes sharp, his expression cold. My jittery insides quiver, and I feel so small in the vast bed, my emotions jumping all over the place, flaring up and detonating like a box of matches.
You're awake.
He speaks slowly, with no emotion. He's like that demon from the initiation, the unfeeling monster I couldn't reach inside of, no matter what I did. My heartbeat quickens as he walks toward me at a deliberately slow pace, the sound of his footsteps echoing in my chest.
You feel better.
His words are monotonous, robotic even. I don't even pay attention to my bandaged wrists or the warm bathrobe covering me. The pain doesn't matter anymore. Not when he's looking at me as if I'm a stranger. Kane.
Yes?
I'm sorry about your father.
I'm not. I would have eventually gotten rid of him, but this came earlier than calculated.
He stops at the foot of the bed, both hands in his pockets. He's towering over me, intimidating. It makes me tremble, despite my attempts to rein it in, push it down, put on the facade I wear so well, but right now I can't.
I believe you ought to be sorry for something different, Dahlia.
I flinch, my fingers sinking into the sheets. He knows. Right. Grant promised to tell him everything. No words follow. What am I supposed to say? Am I even allowed to say anything?
You're what?
He seems larger, taller, and nothing like the Kane who held my hand while I goofed around in my hometown. There's no carefree energy, no soft looks, and certainly no rare smiles. But there's only one thought that buzzes through me. I don't want him to hate me. I don't want to lose him. Hear me out. My voice is low in the silence, broken. Lightning brightens up the sky and spills into the room, casting a menacing shadow on Kane's face. Rain patters before it pours, its rivulets trickling down the window.
I'm listening.
There's no encouragement, no softness, only a depressing, emotionless voice, but at least he's willing to give me a chance to explain myself. For over 8 years, Vi's been the only person tethering me to life. She's my world and the reason I've survived thus far. My voice is still quiet and withdrawn. So when she was attacked, I watched my world shatter before my eyes. I swore to exact revenge. I promised I'd make whoever was responsible pay, no matter what. And since my only connection to life was taken away, I felt invincible. Like I had nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose.
He repeats slowly. Yeah. So when I went through her journal and found an entry where she described being followed by suspicious men, and she drew pictures of the rings with unintelligible symbols they wore and mentioned the vipers, I dug deeper and found out about Vancor. I remembered when I went out with Marcus that he was always rumored to come from a very influential family that belongs to a secret society, but I also knew he was never part of the family. So I didn't get close to him again, not to mention he even tried to share me with his friends.
He shared you.
His jaw ticks, his finger twitching. No, he didn't get the chance. I left and broke up with him. I didn't sleep with him either. He's nothing in the great scheme of things, to be honest, but he did mention that most of the vipers are rotten to the core, and I heard rumors that many are in Vancor.
So you got close to me to achieve your vengeance?
No, I blurt, then wince. I mean, yes, that was the goal at the start, but I soon realized you couldn't have possibly let something like Vi's attack happen. I admit that I wanted you to get me into Vancor so I could investigate and find clues, but you didn't allow that anyway. But really, I didn't suspect you. If anything, the more time I spent with you, the more the lines blurred, and I couldn't control my emotions.
Did you stop suspecting me before or after you extracted my and the team's DNA?
I gulp. He knows. Of course he knows. I was only searching for Vi's murderer. I didn't mean to harm anyone.
But you did, Dahlia.
A muscle jumps in his jaw.
Why the fuck would you leave my side in that town? Why the fuck wouldn't you let me know that Grant and Julian threatened you? That your sister was kidnapped? Why the fuck did you keep all that to yourself?
Because I didn't want you to get hurt! I shout. My vision blurry. Because your father said he'd never let me see my sister again. Vi, where is she?
She's somewhere safe, but this isn't about her.
He rounds the bed and grabs my chin. His skin is both warm and cold, gentle but commanding.
This is about your reckless fucking actions that nearly got you killed. Do you have a death wish?
Of course not. You think I wasn't scared? Because I was. I was so scared, I could barely breathe. But do you know what terrified me more? The fear of losing Vi. Or you.
Then you should have never left my side.
His cool is chipping, ripping at the seams, revealing his undiluted chaos beneath the calm. I didn't have a choice.
You always have a fucking choice.
His fingers dig into my jaw. The pad's probably bruising the skin, but it doesn't matter. Because I see it. Deep in his eyes, turbulent blue. A color I've never seen in them before. Worry mixed with fear. I clutch his bare arm, my skin electrifying at the touch. But I still hold on to my courage as I let the blanket fall, then shift to my knees. His grip loosens around my jaw, enough to allow me some movement, and I brush my lips against his, softly, tentatively. They twitch. His jaw flexes, but he remains still. So still. I think he's a statue.
What the fuck are you doing?
I grab onto that courage, my breath escaping in a fractured rhythm. This is the first time I've wanted something with all my broken parts. The first time I'm willing to compromise. To even let go of the one thing that's kept me going since Vi's attack. My pride. When we separated at the bridge, I regretted not kissing you. My words are only interrupted by a flash of lightning and the pattering of rain. I regretted not holding on to you one final time. I know you probably won't forgive me, and that's okay. You're angry. So take it out on me. If you want me to run, I'll run.
Shut up, Dahlia.
I'll make it harder to catch me. I promise. Just one more time.
I said.
He pushes me back against the bed, the mattress creaking under his weight as he straddles me, his hand gripping my bathrobe's belt.
Shut the fuck up.
My heart trembles, and so does my entire body. I arch my back, my fingers reaching for his shirt, but he's already taken it off. It's somewhere on the floor now, and all I can focus on are the hard lines of his muscles. The proportionate cut planes of his chest and stomach, the dark ink that slips from his side to his abs, the snake's head at his collarbone, the scars crisscrossing his chest. He's a sight to behold. An enigma caught between morbid ruthlessness and authoritative composure. I place a trembling hand on a scar, as if I can erase it, as if I can cast a spell and make all the pain disappear. A sharp inhale expands his chest, inflating it against my hand. But he doesn't remove it, doesn't scold me for daring to touch the sun. It still burns, but that's okay. I can handle him. Kane undoes the belt of my robe in one ruthless movement, and it slips open, exposing my nakedness. My nipples are hard and perky, my breasts feel swollen, all because of his gaze.
Take it out on you,
he repeats, his voice tense, his chest heaving as he unzips his jeans, lifts himself, then removes and throws them and his boxer briefs on the floor to join his shirt. Yeah. I lift my other hand to his face, but this time he grabs it and slams it over my head on the pillow. But he doesn't hold my injured wrist and instead flattens his palm against mine. As he leans down, his chest grazes my nipples, and I let out a small moan of need, of something much deeper than need.
There are a lot of things to take out on you, Wildflower. So what should we start with?
He wraps his hand around my throat, angles my head to the side and bites on my earlobe.
Your lies.
My heart jolts, a flux of both fear and pleasure rushing inside me. Kane sinks his teeth into my jaw, the crook of my neck, my shoulder, my collarbone, my nipples, everywhere. I scream, trying to grab onto him.
Your betrayal.
He sweeps his tongue against my tortured nipple, and I wiggle, welcoming the pleasurable feeling. But then he bites again.
Your lack of confidence in me.
I arch my back, my lower stomach rubbing against his hard cock. A stickiness trickles between my thighs, and I clench them together in search of some friction. But he releases my hand and slaps my thighs apart, settling his massive weight between them as he continues to suck and bite my nipple. Every lick of his tongue is a zap of pleasure to my throbbing pussy, And every bite is a reminder that this isn't only about pleasure. It's not even part of our twisted games. It's a punishment. One I'm willing to take. He bites a trail down to my stomach, nibbling and sucking on the soft skin until he reaches my pussy. I throw my head back as his lips wrap around my clit, his tongue rolling and twisting, his teeth slightly nibbling. Slick sweat covers my body as I writhe, and although the bathrobe is soft, it feels rough on my skin. My fingers sink into his hair.